Here we go. Thursday talk round getting going here. Got clouds, still got some fog left, and 32 degrees where we're at. Well, Thursdays means we are talking Wapton history with Janet Gagelin. Everybody's scratching their heads going, Janet's on a crime spree. We really don't know why. You've had some really good luck uncovering some crazy stories.
Yeah, it's just like they are jumping out of the newspaper.
Yeah.
Like, tell my story.
So. Well, and today we're talking about one you said, and I'm quoting you now, went horribly wrong.
Yes.
Okay.
It did. It should never have even attempted to have a robbery of these guys. They were just not good robbers.
They didn't know what they were doing.
They weren't good crooks.
Okay. So, yeah. All right.
They didn't have a history of being crooks. So, you know.
First time.
Oh, yes.
Rookies. That's even worse.
Yeah, well, yeah, the mistakes were there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is the story of a grocer, a rail clerk, and a mechanic.
All right.
This trio of people who got together from Minneapolis. So Erman. Yeah. George Erman, he was kind of considered the mastermind,
okay.
Sort of, and he was the oldest of the group.
All right.
So he talked to his in-law, which means that Erman's niece was married to this guy, Louis Roy.
Louis Roy.
So the two of them, and then they got Michael Sadowski, a Polish person.
Of course, yeah. Yep.
And so he had a car. He had a Jewett coach. And they're like, yeah, he'll drive us. So they said, well, we're going to go to Hankinson. And we'll pay you $100 to do that. So he's like, yeah, you know, a Jewett coach was a pretty large vehicle in 1926.
Did he know what was going on?
No.
He didn't. Okay,
no,
just drive us to Hankinson. We'll give you $100.
He was only the chauffeur of the taxi.
Okay.
All right. So they took off for Hankinson. And they got there a little bit early, and they were going to the train depot because Erman had said that, well, he was getting a shipment of liquor. And I'm like, so this Sardzinski said, you can't really have this in my car, but he convinced them that it would be okay. So they got there early, and they thought, well, we have to wait for the train, so they slept in the car. The train comes in, and they were exchanging cars and moving things from one to the other. And as soon as that happened, then Erwin and Roy jumped out of the car and ran to the railroad tracks, and they entered the mail coach car. And they had their guns drawn, and they told the clerk, the guy sorting the mail, you know, don't say anything and you'll be all right. So they tied him up and threw him in a corner of the train, and robbed the whatever they could put in their pockets. They just grabbed all that first-class registered mail.
Really?
Yep, and stuffed it in their pockets, and then ran out. So they get to the car, and Sardzinski was suspicious that something was going on because they opened the door, threw the loot in, and said, drive away fast. And so he was going to start the car, but the battery was dead.
Oh.
Because they had slept in the vehicle, and someone's foot had hit the light switch. So the lights were...
Turned the lights on and killed the battery.
Yep.
Okay.
So they couldn't get away. So the newspaper says that Erman and Roy took to their heels as a yell was set about that there had been a robbery. So in other words, people were saying, robbery, you know, there was, you know, spreading the word quickly that way. Along comes the McWayne, was his last name. He was a deputy sheriff and a candidate for sheriff. And he was also someone who delivered mail. So he just happened to be there.
Just by coincidence, happened to show up.
Right.
Okay.
And so according to the newspaper, he sized up the situation at a glance, saw them start away from the car, and concluded that they might be the robbers.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
No getting anything by this guy.
No. So they took off, running in course, two directions. And the owner of the vehicle, that Sardzinski, just like, he walked down to the nearest garage station, you know, thinking, well, okay, maybe somebody can help me start my car. He still didn't have a clue as to what was going on.
Really? So he's still in the dark while all this has happened?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No red flags, no, no kites, no, no nothing. He didn't spot anything.
He must have been just a nice, innocent young man.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So anyway, he walks down to a garage, which of course wasn't open because it was early in the morning, and the other two take off in opposite directions. So McElwain, the deputy sheriff, has this really nice pickup. I mean, it's very, very good. It's an upscale one. It's built for speed. So Roy goes down the alley, and McElwain drives after him down the alley, gets alongside of him as the robber is running away, and he said, are you going somewhere? And he goes, yeah, I just live over there in that building upstairs. So he's like trying to run home. Well, that, of course, wasn't the truth, and so McElwain says, jump on the running board, and the guy did.
Oh, man.
Yep, so he drives on the run, rides on the running board as they drive towards Main Street. Get to Main Street, then, of course, he gets arrested. So he was not on the run for very long, but he did have about 5 bundles of mail in his pockets. So the chief of police now has been notified that there is a robbery. So he sends out a call to all the farmers living close by that to be on the lookout for a short man wearing a white shirt. That was the description. Shortly after that, Charles Buckhouse calls the police headquarters and said, hey, I see this guy walking down the road, and he just went past my mailbox. And he looks like the guy that you are kind of looking for. So, car full of people, you know, detectives, sheriffs, anybody that's in law enforcement, they're driving to Charles' house, and he only lives a couple miles outside of Hankinson. All right, so they get close by, and Ehrman sees that they're coming, so he dives into a ditch. And then he starts crawling through the ditch into the field, which is a barley field.
All right.
The chief of police and his deputies pull up, and they get out, start looking in the barley field. One guy stands on top of the car, looking like over the top, just in case he would stand up, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
So they're crawling, they're combing the barley field, and they find a guy who's matching the description of a white shirt and a short man, and guns drawn, and they're like, and so he's like faking like he's been sleeping. Oh, I didn't hear you guys. I didn't know you were around. And so, yeah, well, they arrested him then too.
I bet.
Yep, they take them all to Wahpeton, and of course the chauffeur guy, he didn't know what's going on. He didn't even try to leave. He was just worried about his car. So he made no effort to escape at all. But the other two were kind of like they looked like they maybe had a long history of stuff going on. So they take them to Wahpeton, and they put them in jail. And this is, of course, a federal crime, you know, when you're stealing mail.
Right.
So, yeah. And there was a reward. And actually, the deputy sheriff, they thought, was going to get rewarded for his work in capturing these would-be criminals. All right, how much time do we have left?
What a great story. We got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Well, so we're going to talk about the people who were. The grocer was the chauffeur guy. And he owned a neighborhood grocery store in Minneapolis. So he was a Polish person. And sometimes he worked at the local flour mill. And he was just the taxi cab driver. He told his story very, like, this is what happened. And so they checked his details. And, yeah, he was really, really
close. Checked out.
He checked out. So okay. He didn't need to be in jail very long. They let him take his car and drive back to the cities.
Well, yeah, he was kind of, you know.
Yeah, he was just.
He just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right. But yeah. He, before he left, he agreed to serve as a witness for the government. And he also resolved to take no chances on bad company in the future.
I love old journalism.
Yes.
Good stuff.
All right, so we keep going?
Yeah.
All right, so Lewis Roy had been working at, he was a mechanic at the railroad in the roundhouse, and he had been working there for about 8 years. He was married, he had 4 children, and he also had 10 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
Yeah, and he came from a pretty well-respected family of Minneapolis and St. Paul. And in the beginning, he said, you know, I don't have anything to do with it, you know, I don't know. It wasn't me. And he just kind of gave the facts. He didn't give much beyond that. And he said, I told you all I know. So his story was the same as the Sarzenskis.
Okay, so it matched up.
Yep, and he was just the victim then of drinking moonshine and bad company.
A lot of that going on back then.
Yeah, so he was like, oh, yeah, I was a victim of circumstance.
Okay.
All right, but George Ehrman, he had been married twice, and he now had a family with two children. His wife, as I said, was the niece of Louis Roy, and he had worked in Valley City for a few years back, like maybe 10 years before this, and had embezzled some money from an implement dealership that he was working for. And he never paid it back. He left, and they never found him, kind of thing. But his family stepped in and said, okay, we'll pay whatever he owes.
Sure.
$320.
That's it?
Yep, so they paid it, and his record was clean, and he was not in any trouble for a long time. Except for this latest robbery.
Yeah.
Of course, he denied that he was any part of it. And he said, well, he was coming there because he was going to work in the harvest fields. Because he knew this guy, Fred Burroughs, from Hankinson, that he had worked with previously. Well, they checked that out. And Fred was in jail in Sisseton.
Of course, yeah. Just gets better.
On a liquor charge. So police then believe that he is a crook with a long record and the brains of the daring robbery.
Oh, man.
So should we stop there?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Okay. We're unfortunately out of time. I'm riveted by this, though. So can we make this a two-parter?
Oh, yes. We'll finish it up.
Bring this back next week, because I want to hear how all this ends up. Again, another good movie script that you're bringing me.
Yeah.
It's 8:22 here at the Voice of the Valley. We talk Wahpeton history with Janet Gageland, one of our more popular segments here every Thursday at the Voice of the Valley. AM 1450, KBMW, good morning.
You rely on hot water every day, so it's an easy place to start saving money. With Otter Tail Power Company, you can get up to a $400 rebate when you install a qualifying electric water heater. And by enrolling in an off-peak rate, you can save even more when you wash dishes, take a shower, and do laundry. Up to $120 a year. It's a simple way to save now and over time. Visit otpco.com/water heater.
Hop in a John Deere Gator XUV for a day's work. Let's see what's on the to-do list. There goes the tree and the fence. Not a problem, because you've got a cargo box filled with solutions. Up to 4,000 pounds of towing capacity, and you're ready to roll.
The power's out!
Here we go again. The Gator XUV, built for every kind of workday. Learn more at johndeere.com/GatorXUV. Nothing runs like a deer.
Straight Talk Wireless presents Pickup Truck Wisdom.
The smartest way to spend your money is not to. Straight Talk offers free 5G phones for new and existing customers on Verizon's 5G network. So the refund money I don't spend on that free phone is the refund money I get to keep for my family. Smart.
Find us at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Straight Talk Wireless. Straightforward. Always. Taxes and fees apply. Plan purchase required for free phone offers. Copyright 2026 Verizon.
Download to see if you qualify. Not all customers will qualify. Transfer fees may apply. No Albert subscription required. Albert is not a bank. Albert Instant Loans are issued by Finwise Bank, member FDIC. Not an actual client. Terms apply.
Kylie, what's wrong?
I just got hit with a car repair bill. I'm behind on rent, and I feel like I can never save any money.
Have you tried the Albert app? Albert is your financial assistant, helping you find ways to save and create custom budgets to actually grow your money. Plus, you can get up to $10,000 for big expenses or advance up to $1,000 fast when you need cash right away.
Albert can get me up to $10,000?
Exactly. Albert spots you in a pinch and helps you grow your money in the long run.
I'm downloading Albert right now.
Download the Albert app and use promo code READY to borrow up to $10,000 for whatever you need. The Albert app helps you budget better and save more money so you reach your financial goals faster. Download the Albert app right now and use promo code READY.